And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News with Paul Hill.
The extraordinary synod held at Resurrection Cambridge on the 24th of September was a good day, with 12 congregations being represented. This extraordinary synod had a specific focus, continuing the work of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England's restructure. This involved considering two constitutions, the one for the umbrella body and the model congregational constitution, the CIO. It also involved considering whether or not we would have a new synodical name. The umbrella body constitution was adopted, noting one, that this constitution will be the template for Scottish and Northern Irish versions when those constitutions are required, and two, that the wording of the constitution will be aligned with the already agreed church order, and the Executive Council was authorised to make the changes upon legal advice on the understanding that there will be no changes of substance in the constitutions or the church order. The model congregational constitution was adopted after discussions relating to the role of trustees, the use of congregational bylaws, which reflect the flexibility and local practices of congregations, and making it clear in the interpretation of the constitution that elders are men. In discussing the future name of the church, the proposal that the letters ELCE be retained irrespective of the name of the church was not supported by synod. Resolution 4 was a proposal for a new name. The outcome of Synod was that Synod adopted a new church name, new even to Resolution 4. Yes, the day had numerous amendments, some of which were adopted and some were not. Synod voted that the new church name be the Evangelical Lutheran Church in the United Kingdom. The day began and concluded with worship, matins in the morning and divine service in the afternoon. So, what happens next? We wait. As these three items are all constitutional, our current constitution requires us to have a higher number of votes in support, more than two-thirds majority to pass, which the resolutions received, and the resolutions now go to congregations for 30 days, a cooling off time, a time to pray and consider before they come into force. This only applies to matters relating to the constitution. Should four or more congregations dissent from any of the resolutions, then that resolution doesn't come into effect. If all resolutions come into effect, then the name of the church is inserted into the documents and the work begins on the constitutions and church order to align them so that there is a consistency among them. Congregations will be asked to provide the names for their first trustees. These will be inserted into congregational constitutions and we hope that the Charity Commission will accept them in bulk. We are not sure of the time that the Charity Commission and the Office of the Scottish Charity Regulator take, but we are all hopeful that it will be in 2023, early, that our new structure is in place. Iranian youngsters are removing their hijabs and giving portraits of their clerical leaders in classroom the middle finger as a massive uprising against the regime in Tehran spreads to schools. Video footage posted online this week showed schoolgirls making the gesture and turning portraits of Iran's leaders to face against the wall in classrooms. As with older women in Iran, they have also refused to wear headscarves in some schools, protesting rules enforced by the regime's morality police. Footage has emerged of a group of schoolchildren in the city of Karaj near Tehran chasing an education official off the premises as they hurled empty water bottles at him and chanted, "Shame on you." It came as the BBC reported that Iranian security forces secretly buried the body of a 16-year-old protester far from her village after she disappeared for 10 days. In a last message to her friend, Nika Shakramami said she was being pursued by security forces. Her relatives told the BBC that when they went to identify Nika's body, they were only allowed to briefly see her face, raising suspicions that she may have been killed by the authorities. Security forces then stole the body and buried it in a faraway village, relatives said. Iran has been gripped by unprecedented protests over the past 2 weeks, which began in response to the death of Mahsa Amini in morality police custody after she was detained for incorrectly wearing a hijab. The demonstrations quickly evolved into a full-blown campaign to bring down the supreme leader, with protesters engaged in running street battles with riot police across dozens of cities. Many protesters have chanted "Death to the Dictator," among other similar slogans, in a direct reference to Ayatollah Ali Khamenei. Iran has launched a brutal crackdown on protesters and heavily restricted access to the internet, but this does not seem to have deterred many Iranians. Over the past few weeks, Iranian women have been cutting off their hair in protest and burning their hijabs on street bonfires. Iran also arrested a young woman who defied morality police by eating in a restaurant without wearing a hijab, in an image that went viral on social media and inspired thousands of anti-regime protesters. The photograph showed Donya Rad eating breakfast in a restaurant in Tehran alongside a female friend who was also not wearing a headscarf. The pair were silently protesting the death of Mahsa Amini, a young woman killed in the custody of Iranian morality police for improperly wearing a hijab. Her death has sparked mass protests across Iran, which has led to more than 50 people being killed by riot police. It came as another image emerged from Iran of a young woman, Mino Majadi, standing next to the grave of her mother, who was also killed in the protests. Staring into the camera, Mino is shown clutching her shorn long hair, which Iranian women are cutting off as a symbol of resistance against the regime. In a post on Twitter, Donyarad's sister, Dina, revealed that Iranian police had confronted them about the photograph before arresting Donya. Yesterday, after this photo was published, the security agencies contacted my sister Donyarad and asked her to give some explanations, the sister said. Today, after going where she was told, she was arrested. After a few hours of silence, Donya told me in a short call that she was transferred to Ward 209 of Evin prison. That referred to an infamous jail in Tehran, where British mother Nazim Zaghari Ratcliffe was also imprisoned before her release. Our family is very concerned about our well-being, added Dina. A US museum has returned a valuable 1,000-year-old Christian manuscript to a monastery in northern Greece that was looted by Bulgarian forces more than a century ago, together with hundreds of other documents and artifacts. The 11th century gospel was formally presented on Thursday at the Icos Ephonissa monastery, in a ceremony attended by Greek Orthodox Archbishop Elpidophorus of America and officials from the Museum of the Bible in Washington. According to the Archdiocese of America, the Greek manuscript is one of the world's oldest handwritten gospels and is believed to have been made in southern Italy. It was donated to the museum in 2014 after being bought at auction. Museum officials subsequently identified it as one of the manuscripts stolen from the monastery in 1917 and informed Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew I, spiritual leader of the world's Orthodox Christians, of their desire to return it. Elpidophorus praised the Museum of the Bible for its courtesy in recognizing where the manuscript belongs and returning it. A historical injustice has been redressed, he said. The gospel was stolen with another 430 valuable manuscripts by marauding forces from neighbouring Bulgaria, who also took hundreds of other religious artefacts. Most are still missing. The monastery, which dates to the 8th century, was burned in 1943 by Bulgarian occupation forces allied with Nazi Germany during World War II. It has since been rebuilt and now functions as a convent. A mosque in Surrey is aiming to raise thousands of pounds and put smiles on faces by fundraising to help save a 150-year-old village church facing closure. All Saints Church in Tilford was deemed unsafe when parts of its ceiling fell down in October 2021, and churchgoers now need to raise £110,000 for its restoration. The Ahmadiyya Muslim Youth Association, the AMYA, representing the Mubarak Mosque, has organised a charity race on Sunday to help the church reach its target. The interfaith event will see church congregants, local schoolchildren and villagers, and hundreds of young Muslims and imams take part in a 5K or 10K run, with all the proceeds going towards saving the church. Sabah Ahmedi, 28, who is one of Britain's youngest imams, said projects like this can help build bridges between different faith groups. He told the PA news agency, "It's a fundamental obligation on all Muslims to help their neighbours, regardless of their background. So I am only fulfilling my duty by working with our friends and neighbours from the church." It's my firm belief that initiatives like this help to build bridges and put smiles on faces, especially in the challenging circumstances. The All Saints Church, consecrated in 1867, is a Grade 2 listed building, which means all the work being carried out on it has to be completely by a heritage expert able to work with traditional lime plaster. To date, the church has raised over £70,000 and restoration work is nearing completion, but it is hoped that Sunday's event will help reach the final fundraising target. Church treasurer Charlotte Mathias said funding the restoration has been a daunting task, but added it has brought people in their village together in religious harmony. The church sits at the heart of our village and is not only an important place of worship, but a local heritage asset, Ms. Mathias said. The burden of finding the money to carry out the extensive work on the church ceiling falls entirely on the parish, and it is quite a daunting task. We are delighted to be hosting this event with our friends and neighbours from the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. I hope this occasion will give us the opportunity to shine a light on how religious harmony can bring people together. The AMYA is helping to organise the event to raise the money for the church as part of their Mercy for Mankind initiative, which celebrates the life of the Prophet Muhammad. Lugman Badja, lead organiser of Mercy for Mankind charity event, said, "Our flagship event has been going on for years. We have raised millions of pounds for British charities. However, this is something unique and special. Helping to rebuild a church for us as Muslims is something that is motivated by the life of the Prophet Muhammad, who instructed Muslims to protect all places of worship. To see the local church back to its full glory will be very rewarding for all of us." And finally, when Pastor Jamie was a small boy, his mother looked out of the window and noticed him playing church in the garden with their cat. He had the cat sitting quietly and he was preaching to it. She smiled and went about her work. A while later, she heard loud yowling and hissing and ran back to the open window to see Jamie baptizing the cat in a bucket of water. She called out, "Jamie, stop that! That cat is afraid of water." Jamie looked up at her and said, "He should have thought about that before he joined my church."
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.